6:45 on your Monday morning. Kevin Martell in for Greg Morgan again. This morning, we're getting the very latest from Regina Food Bank CEO John Bailey. Good morning, John. How are you?
Morning. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing well.
Very topical now. Wildfires. We have a lot of new individuals in across the province in Regina that, of course, haven't chosen to be here, forced from their homes because of those fires. What role does the food bank play in this?
Yeah, I think there's a couple roles that the Regina Food Bank's playing in this piece. And on the one hand, there's, I think that last I saw, 1,000, maybe 1,000 plus folks that are sort of registered and living in hotels or in supported environments. And for those folks, we're trying to actively be connectors to different activities, whether it be making sure that they have access to the basketball court and the play structure at the food hub so they have something for the kids to do, to trying to act as connectors to other events to sort of give some normalcy and something that sort of breaks the monotony of being away from home. And that's for the folks who are registered. For the folks who are coming up and they're still fleeing, they're still evacuating, but they're maybe not in that formal process because they have friends or family and they're coming here and they're sort of, let's call it, sort of off that sort of core book of 1,000 plus folks. We're actually starting to see them come to our door, and we're willing to support, and we want to make sure, because while they're in our community, they are our neighbors, and we want to make sure they're getting fed. It's not uncommon to see that. What's uncommon is if it starts happening so early. So to have people start trickling in June is a little bit of a worrying sign of what the rest of summer comes, because, quite frankly, from the looks of things, folks are not going to be going home anytime soon as these fires are still going. So we want to make sure that we're there to support them. And again, in sort of two different lanes, one sort of an extra sort of community connection support for those who are already sort of grounded with supports from other organizations, and one for food support for those coming who have sometimes flee to situations where there's not actual supports for them. We can be that support on the food side.
My guest on the line this morning, John Bailey, Regina Food Bank CEO. John, there's a renewed focus on local everything these days, including food and drink. I imagine you guys are seeing that play out at the food bank.
Yeah, absolutely. So for the past couple of years, we've had a really specific local focus, whether it's ensuring that we have product from local farmers and local producers filling our hampers, and whether we can give it out as raw ingredients or as sort of finished products that we develop in support with the University of Saskatchewan. So that focus is sort of mitigating some of the direct impact. What we're really seeing now is with the off and on tariff situation is that our supply chain certainty in terms of costing is becoming a bit in flux, and it means that we have deals that we've worked out with suppliers that, quite frankly, they're starting to not be able to honor because there's costs. So the one that comes to mind is aluminum, where we have a company that gives us an incredible rate on cans of soup, which is Campbell's. We buy direct from Campbell's to get it. And quite rightly, with aluminum tariffs, they're no longer sure. Now, they haven't told us the price is going to go up, but they're saying, well, we can no longer guarantee pricing, which means we now have to change our approach is to go, okay, how much can we pre-purchase? What does it make sense to pre-purchase? Does it change our buying cycle? Does it change our cash flow to make these purchases? And it just adds a level of complexity to actually procuring food, both on the donation side, but also on the purchase side. Is again, part of what we do is making sure we have the best prices possible to continue to stretch the impact of every dollar donated.
Feels like summer, and it almost is summer. I wanted just to check in with you to find out how donations generally are this time of year.
Yeah, I think this time of year we start to see a little bit of a decline in donations, and that's due to a number of factors, like in large part because people are starting to enjoy. It starts to feel like summer, and we brace for it in our planning cycle for this to be a little bit quieter. We're not in a mode where we're raising alarm flags about lack of support, but we are sort of in a quiet period for us in terms of that.
So how would you describe current demand right now?
Well, unfortunately, while we sort of plan for a quiet piece on the donation side, we're not seeing any sort of slowdown on demand. We're just finalizing our numbers for our fiscal year, and it looks like we're going to be up again. We're going to have passed the 220,000 points of service threshold. So for context, last year we were just over 200,000. So we're seeing increasing folks coming through, and that is a trend line that doesn't seem to be slowing down.
How is your volunteer base?
So on the plus side, we just had a year that's our highest in about 8 years in terms of total volunteer hours and total number of folks volunteering. on the downside, for us to be sort of where we want to be, we probably still need to add several dozen volunteers coming on a regular basis, or several hundred volunteers coming over the course of the year. You can sign up for a volunteer shift right online.
Absolutely. Well, I thank you for your time this morning, John. Take care.
Awesome. Thanks very much.
Regina Food Bank CEO John Bailey. Kevin Martell joined now by Andrew Shepherd, and Andrew and I went to Mosaic over the weekend, another successful year. Audio of somebody balancing a big giant cube, if you can believe that.
That was at the, with the Latino Pavilion?
Yes, it was. We went to the Italian Pavilion. And
I thought that was a recording.
And it wasn't. He was a real guy.
He was
up
good.
There. He was belting it out, absolutely. And then eventually we went over to okay, here we are at the Indian Pavilion, where Shep and I are enjoying some tandoori chicken. I'm just starting to dig in. Shep's a couple
drumsticks in, and yeah, tandoori chicken is always my favorite. I have to get this every year. It's one of my favorite forms of chicken.
Let's try it here.
Yeah. It's a good bite.
Yeah, a little bit of kick to it.
And it comes with this green sauce. I don't know what it is.
I didn't get that.
It's also a little spicy. It's got a kick to it. But it's good.
My partner is also eating right now, and her face is, this is too hot for me. Probably take a pretty good guess where we are now. Could I get some haggis? That's overall, I mean, it seemed very busy through the weekend.
It's such a great event. I mean, everyone just looked like they're having a blast, and it's fantastic.
One of the other big stories that came down on Friday, it was kind of late Friday morning, was the Queen City X lineup. And so this year it is an all-Canadian artist performance. Recklaws, Blue Rodeo, Glorious Sun, Sam Roberts Band, Biff Naked, and Kim Mitchell. I think between us, we've almost seen all of these bands.
I've seen half. I saw Sam Roberts Band open for The Hip at the Farewell to Ivor Wynn in Hamilton. And then we saw Kim Mitchell like a couple months ago.
Casino Regina.
At Casino Regina, and Biff Naked, I think, at the Connexus Arts Center a while back.
I haven't seen Blue Rodeo, but I have interviewed Jim Cuddy when he was here playing on, it was for the 2013 Grey Cup. There was like a celebrity hockey game or something like that, and he was playing, so we interviewed him. I haven't seen Blue Rodeo. I'd like to. We haven't seen the Recklaws. We have seen them from afar, I guess.
Well, it's funny. So my parents, they live in Ontario. They have a cottage along in a community along Lake Huron, and their parents also have a cottage there. So sometimes you'll see them on the beach. I've seen them recording one of their music videos on the beach there. So yeah.
Yeah. So overall, pretty good lineup, and West Coast Amusements bringing the rides this year instead of the North American Midway Entertainment, which is what the company that was there that had offered the rides over the last number of years. So some new rides for the family, some new food items for the family as well. And you can check out more details at cjme.com in terms of pricing. Some good news, Andrew, when it comes to wildfires this morning. Yes, it was really windy here, as it was really across the province, but more importantly, we finally got rain.
Yeah, this is what the North really needed. It's not quite like a real good soaking, but it was a decent amount of rain. And the best part is every fire saw some rain over the weekend.
It's great. Yeah.
Candle Lake, for instance, 22 millimeters, which is just under an inch. But we've seen videos of people, think, oh, thank God this rain is here. More rain and maybe some thunderstorms, though, moving in from Alberta today or this week. So they might get a little bit more rain.
Yeah.
Not a whole heck of a lot, maybe 5 to 10 millimeters. But hey,
certainly
it's going to be a little cooler. Environment Canada also says not windy up there. So that's good to not. So if it's cooler, no wind, a little bit of rain, that'll help. Public Safety Agency says, this is a window of opportunity to really get a handle on these fires and make a dent.
A lot more coming up with Andrew in just minutes. CJME News. CJME News time is now 6:57. Ah,
7:13 on your Monday morning. This morning, I have a pair of Jim Jeffries tickets to give away. The comedian is performing at the Brand Center this Friday.
The thing about millennials, you're the worst people that have ever lived. The idea that you think taking a photo of yourself isn't, there's something not mentally wrong with it. And it's not just, that's bad. That's bad as it is. But the fact that when you take that photo, your next thought is, other people might want to see this.
And if you want a chance to go to Jim Jeffries for free, listen up. Here is what we'll do this morning. Text me your favorite joke. Text me a joke. Be any joke along with your first and last name to 1-877-300-7275. Your first, your last name, text me a joke. We'll pick a winner from the jokes we get. We'll give those tickets away just before 8:30 this morning. Jim Jeffries this Friday at the Brand Center. Speaking of entertainment, right outside the Brand Center, this year's Queen City X lineup is now in.
You walk away, Ali.
Yeah, Kit Mitchell, Biff Naked, Sam Roberts Band, The Glorious Sons, Blue Rodeo, The Recklaws. It is an all-Canadian lineup this year. There's a new Midway Entertainment Group providing the rides. So you'll see some new rides, a return of the Zipper. You'll have some new food options as well. Went to Mosaic Cultural Festival this past weekend. Wow, could he sing? That was, not a recording. That was somebody at the Italian Pavilion as we were chowing down on cannolis. And, he was right there. And a couple of people at our table were like, is that real? And he turned around and see, he's a real guy. He looked really busy. Seemed like all the pavilions, I think every pavilion we went to this year, and we hit about half of them or so. I think most of them were almost to capacity. They had expected about 200,000 people. That was kind of the rough estimate based on past years over the 3 days. It looked like it was pretty busy this year. Lineups to get into a lot of the pavilions, but the lineups always move pretty quickly. Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final goes tonight. It was another back-and-forth game, too. The Oilers tied it up in the dying seconds of the third period. Oiler fans here in Saskatchewan that we talked to went wild at that moment.
I was, yes, jumping on my seat like, oh, my God!
If there wasn't a table here, I'd be on the roof.
It was nuts. You know, the table went wild, the bar went wild, the horns went off.
Yeah, the game went into overtime for the second game, and then Florida would win it in double OT. So that series is now tied up at 1. Fans are still hopeful.
Oil in 5.
Yeah, this is the only one they give up.
I thought it was a heck of a hockey game. Honestly, it was back and forth. It was a toss-up.
Yeah, now the series shifts down to Florida for tonight's Game 3. Kevin Martell in for Greg Morgan, joined now by Evan Bray. And, well, we know there is now going to be a Game 5, Edmonton and Florida. So you can breathe easy.
Well, you know what? It wasn't like I was worried that we weren't going to get to see them play. I kind of figured we were going to lose one. I wasn't thinking it was going to be at home. I thought if the Oilers lose a game to Florida, it's likely when we're in Florida.
Right.
But that was a heartbreaker on Friday night.
It was, and so dramatic to come and score in the final minute, in the dying seconds, basically. Everybody was right there.
When you invest that much time, if you're a fan of the Oilers, you invest that much time watching the game and then see that goal go in at the end of the second overtime.
Yeah, it wasn't a great goal. Like you know what I mean? Like he had the breakaway, and it was a breakaway.
That's right. So
but he got kind of like a messy shot, and it just kind of found its way in the net. But here we go, 1-1. The series shifts down to Florida for tonight's Game 3. Mm-hmm. Speaking of hockey, a young man who there's a lot of buzz around, and he is you probably can't even drive yet.
He's 15 years old. Yeah. He might have his learners. Probably not, though. Maddox Schultz.
Yeah.
You'll be talking to
That's
him on
right.
the show
Yeah.
Today.
Number one draft pick in the WHL going to the Regina Pats. He's going to stop by the studio just for a quick chat. And I've seen him in action a couple of times. He was on the Green Zone here not that long ago.
Yeah.
He's quite an impressive young guy. I think he's handling the media so well. Like, you know, for a 15-year-old
right.
to be just so poised in the media, answering questions. You know, that we've seen Connor Bedard go through it. Lots of young hockey players or young athletes do, but I've been impressed with what I've seen.
Yeah, it certainly helps when your parents are here as well.
Yep.
His parents live here, and yep. so it's like it's not like he's away from home.
Yeah.
He's here. He's got that support system, and
yeah. I think his dad's actually the one bringing him in this morning to the studio
great,
for the
great,
chat.
So, great,
yeah, yeah. yeah. So we're looking forward to that. We have lots going on. Of course, the wildfires continued yep. to rage through the weekend, although a little bit of moisture in the north, which I think helped maybe those firefighters try to advance their efforts a little bit
more. Yeah, and they're expecting a little bit more rain today, and our newsroom had called Environment Canada, and that's what they were told, that some of those areas are getting a bit more rain today. And again, not that it's putting the fires out, but certainly any moisture yeah. at this point is welcome. And I know you're going to have Marlo Pritchard yeah. with the safety agency on
yeah,
the show
I'm
today
very
as well.
Appreciative of Marlo joining me. This is the second Monday in a row, so I mean, you hear Marlo, he's on those updates through the weekend. He's
right.
working,
yep.
Like many of the SPSA crew, right through the weekend alongside the firefighters, trying to keep people up to date, new information for evacuees and all of that. And I'm proud of our radio stations, too, because we've got our Ralco Radio Saskatchewan Day of Caring for Wildfire Relief coming up on Thursday. All of our stations in the province will be basically dedicating the day. We'll have lots of different guests on the radio, and we'll be gathering and collecting money and donations for wildfire relief, which is so needed. And in the face of, sadly, a couple of scams in this province,
yeah.
this is a true way to donate money.
Yeah, and you hear about this, and it's always, you hear about it and you always just, like, to me, I get disgusted.
It's infuriating.
Like, yeah, when people try to take advantage of those out of their homes.
Right.
And it's tough. Sometimes these scammers have gotten so good, and now with the help of AI, they can really make it tricky for people to, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, you think it's real, but it's not. And you're potentially, your money's going down the drain to these
well,
people.
Well, and that's, so we're going to talk about that, by the way, today, the scam, the fraudulent side of the fundraising. On the Roundtable of Justice, I've got a couple of experts on the show. But Thursday will be a great opportunity for you to donate, because Thursday, every dollar donated is being doubled by the federal government through the Red Cross. So what a way to impact relief efforts in the province.
Yeah, 6 in the morning until 6 in the evening. That is this Thursday. And as Evan mentioned, a whole day programming, guests, we'll get updates. We'll hear from people right now fighting the fires, that are out of their homes because of the fires, and the efforts to help. And you can get a lot of this kind of information at cjme.com as well. Just looking right now at some of the pictures that we have up there. And when you look at a lot of these pictures, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, it does look like a hellscape, where you have just an orange glow. It can look like Mars if you can even see through the smoke.
Yeah. Did you see the Facebook posts that a fellow by the name of Clayton Lee was putting on, the videos? He's a truck driver. He's been driving in supplies for firefighting crews in the north.
Yeah.
He was taking some into LaRonge. It was one of the most dynamic videos I've ever seen. So he's in the cab of his semi. He's got another passenger in the cab. The passenger is basically guiding him. The passenger's got it looked like his door open, watching the white line on the highway.
Wow.
And yet all you can see through the windshield is not just fire, but bursts of fire, tornado-like swirling fire, smoke over top of the road to the point that you can't even see. It's dynamic video. We're actually trying to get them on the show as well.
I mean, you're hearing that as evacuees leave, but yeah, can you imagine the other side of that?
Going into
it would be just that much
ominous. Yeah.
That much worse.
Yeah.